That's all right. So Dala, all of a sudden, the last thing you remember is this massive arm of a troll heading towards your face. And for a moment you go, exactly. But then everything is black. And you feel yourself slipping away, and you see sort of this gray cloud in the blackness. And it's sort of rushing towards you, and you hear this sound of rushing wind as this wall of gray cloud just comes closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden you feel everything just kind of stop, almost like you were in a wagon and you stop the horses and you just kind of lurch forward. And as you do, you feel your eyes and you're able to open them, and you're staring up at the horrible canopy that is in the Mirkwood. It's so dark, but for the campfire, even though it's midday, you realize everything you've experienced in the last few days was not a nightmare or a bad dream. You really did almost just die, but you see Eldekar smiling and kneeling over you, and he's applied a salve to your wounds, and you feel them start to mend and some of the pain go away.
Cyril goes over to Dala and says, "That was a massive hit you took, but you took it like a warrior, and it appears that you are made of stronger stuff." And out of game, I'm encouraging her to use second wind.
That's a great way to heal.
Well, I wouldn't be here without my team, so love you guys. Y'all got my back.
All did.
And your friend.
Except when there's a troll coming, then we kind of got it. But we'll get better.
But I'm here now.
You're here. That's all that matters.
Dala, if you want to, you can use second wind, and that's when you would roll a d10 and add your level. So add 2 if you want to gain points that way as well. Hit points.
Okay.
Yeah, second wind is really good as a fighter for sure. Well, not fighter, sorry.
Warrior.
I like how they kept a lot of the class mechanics from Core 5e, and but then just reskin the names. I feel like fighter still works in Lord of the Rings, but it's okay.
We still have our dwarf friend who is locked out.
Eldekar, would you like to bring that back? Or
I think he can play a bit longer.
Does he need to learn a lesson about torturing people?
The thing is that he can't hear us right now, so we can.
I would have a lot more cookies if he stayed asleep.
I mean, we could wait till after the story, right? Okay, fine. I guess I can wake him up.
All right. 1d4 plus 1. Make sure you mark off that you've used those two portions of Ethelis.
Got a 5.
5.
Four plus one.
Nice. Nebuchadnezzar, similarly, you find yourself stuck in this dark place with no dimensions, no roof, no ceiling, no floor, no walls, just everything completely dark. And then you have the sensation of turning, even though you can't even see your hands or your body when you look down. But suddenly there's this massive gray cloud. And as it rushes towards you and this sound of wind goes through your ears, it's almost deafening. And then everything kind of shudders to a stop. And as it does, the wind in your ears, as loud as it was, immediately dissipates. And you hear a familiar voice, actually. You hear the voice of the elf that you spoke to just yesterday. And it says, "Life is suffering.
Life is hard. Suffering. It's hard." Well, it was
okay. Echo.
The world is cursed, but still you find reasons to keep on living.
Still you find the reasons to keep on.
Okay. That is going to mess me up.
I'm sorry, keep going, keep going.
And so that's it. So you hear that, and as you do, your eyes open and you see Eldekar standing over you.
Oh, it wakes me from my slumber.
Hello, little one.
I kind of push him off and I get my warhammer ready. I'm looking for the trolls.
You've been out a while, but you're awake now. Roll up.
I'm going to turn to Haley. I'm gonna be like, food. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say food.
Food.
I pull out we only have four rations, 4 days of rations left. So,
got any candy?
I'm just making up these cookies. I don't actually have them written down on my sheet. I just go.
Well, my guy is pretty parched. You know, he got hit in the face, a little out of it. He sees the cup of whatever Brian was brewing up there, and he just decides to chug one of those things down, man.
Okay.
I don't know which one. You just pick out for me, John.
Well, there was only one that you would actually drink, so that's easy. Eldekar, do you attempt to stop him, or do you just let him sort of walk over and chug the tonic that you made?
That would be the king cup, right?
No, the yes. king cup is
no. It's one. It's the other one, the reed mace. That's the one that gives you 2 hit points or 2 hit dice. Sorry.
Yeah, fine. You can drink.
All right, so I drink it, and then I kind of swish it.
Okay.
If it was the king cup, I would have stopped.
He like leaves in his teeth and stuff.
A little bit. It's a little chewier than you were expecting. You know, it's not matcha. It's got the actual leaves still in there, ground up a little bit, but still. Do you have any expended hit dice that you can recover?
Nope, I had 2. Mine are still here.
You still have 2.
Yep.
Yep.
It has sort of a gritty flavor, in that the texture is about the only flavor that you get. But afterwards, it has a sort of a pleasant, sweet, almost honey-like aftertaste. Mm. And every time you breathe, you kind of, smells better than the Mirkwood.
It's better than the Mirkwood.
All right, so now that I'm refreshed, I'm feeling good about myself, I say, are we just going to stare at me, or are we going to start to get moving on?
We decided we were going to take a minute and try and feel a little better before we move forward.
The little one was going to tell us a story.
Oh, I kind of sit down and I just wait. I kind of pout a little bit like a little kid.
I pull out my lute and I start strumming softly, and I start to tell the tale of a hobbit that joined a group of dwarves to go reclaim their home in the Misty Mountains from an evil dragon. And, of course, this is the story of the famed Bilbo Baggins. I shorten it a bit so that it still fits within the short rest time period, but everyone gets an extra D6 to add some hit points.
That's amazing.
Fancy.
And good job, Haley.
John, I will roll my 2 hit dice here.
Okay.
And my D6. So.
All right.
Okay, that's.
Dala, did you end up doing second wind to gain the D10 plus 2 hit points?
Yeah, I think I got 7. That's 7? Why I wrote it down. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you had 2 hit points. So if you got 7 more, you'll be at 9. You have 2 hit die that you can choose to roll on a short rest to regain health. And Haley, what you did, gave him a D6 on top of that?
Yes.
All right. Dala, what is your hit die? It's going to be near the center of your sheet below your health. It's what you roll when you level up to add. Okay. Points. I believe it's a D10.
A D10. Yeah, I think
it's a okay.
Weapon. Yeah.
Okay, so you have two D10 and a D6 that you can roll. You get the D6 no matter what, and then you can roll one or two D10 and make sure you add your constitution modifier as well. That was a lot. Let me know if you're good.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
So let's start with the D6 that Haley gave you. Roll a D6 and add that to your hit points.
Okay. So that's 15. Yeah, okay. 15.
All right. So now you're at 15 hit points. What's your constitution modifier?
Sorry, I'm trying to. That would be. Sorry.
That's fine. It's on the left hand side of your character sheet. Your constitution modifier is a +2.
Okay.
Your constitution is 14. No worries. Sorry. So, so you have 6 more hit points before you get to full. You could spend 1 hit die. And you would add your constitution modifier. So you would roll a D10 and add 2 and see how close that gets you to 21.
You said how close you get to 10?
No, just go ahead and roll it and add 2.
Oh, okay. Okay, 8?
Okay. So that fills you up. You're now at 21 hit points. The hit die can't get you over 21, but you are now at full health. Nebuchadnezzar, did you get to full health from your hit die in the D6?
No, but I have 23 health now.
So did okay. It.
So I'm not maxed out, but I'm almost maxed out. So
sorry that took so long.
That's okay. No, it's learning. Fine. It's part of playing the game. You learn.
Quick question. So hit die usually return at the end of a long rest?
Half of your expended hit die return. So for those of you who use 2, you don't really get a long rest. So not in the journey anyway.
Yeah, whoops. That was going to be my question. So we're not going to get hit die back technically. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we decide, are we sleeping for the night or are we
going? We're going to keep moving forward a little faster.
Okay.
To make up time.
Sounds good. So I
because we took a moment to heal.
I'll spin a hit die as well, and then I will save my second one.
When I was telling the story, I was tempted to start singing the Leonard Nimoy version. Bilbo,
and Bags. Copyrights. We got Bilbo out, and after that, we got to stop.
Okay, I'm back to full 2.
Awesome.
Sorry, you said you couldn't exceed, 21, right?
Correct. So yeah. There are abilities, other abilities in the game that could give you additional, temporary hit points to increase your maximum. But, if you're at 18 out of 21 and you add 10 from a hit die, you really only get 3.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So especially during a journey where sleeping through the night will give you, will stop you from getting exhaustion, you don't get any other benefits of a long rest. So you don't get your hit points back. Haley doesn't get her inspiration back. So it's just good to try and be very careful with your hit die and not waste them. So rolling 2 hit die when you already only needed 6 or 7 hit points would have been dangerous because you could have wasted one. And as you can see, the 1 hit die was exactly what you wanted to do. So you still have 1, which is good.
Quick question. Is this considered a short rest?
Yes.
Okay. So technically we would get a second wind back.
Is that what it says for second wind? Does it recharge on a short rest?
Yes, I believe so.
There you go. So she actually used second wind before the short rest because she used it immediately. So you have second wind again, which is great. So that ability that let you once per short rest, roll a D10 and add your constitution modifier. Pretty awesome. So it's easier actually, a party of warriors would be the best to go on a journey, I guess. because they have so many things to heal themselves. Short rest every day, twice a day. So you guys know mechanically how I run things, you can take one long rest every 24 hours, and you can take two short rests every 24 hours. I don't really allow more than that, but that's just so you guys know. Go ahead.
So when Cyrell, when Nebuchadnezzar like woke up and was drinking stuff forever, Cyrell mutters himself, we should have left him asleep. But after all that, he walks over to Nebuchadnezzar. He's like, you took one for the team. Good on you. And then he just walks away and goes to make sure the horses are okay.
Yeah, my guy's just still trying to get stuff out of his teeth. Out of his now messed up cracked teeth from that giant troll arm. So
it's okay. Your beard mostly hides it.
Also, Cyrell tells the team what he found from the trolls. And then he takes the paper that the trolls had and he goes over to Eldekar. And he mentions, I couldn't read these. Are you able to?
What languages do you speak, Eldekar?
I can speak, read, and write Sindarian, Westron, and the Common Talk.
Okay. Westron is the Common Talk, just so you know. Pretty sure. I think Westron is, instead of just like D&D just called it Common, this is Westron, which is the Common Talk.
I just copied and pasted it.
Yep. All right. So no, you are not able to make out the language or what it could say.
Cyrell raves the papers around. Can anyone read this?
What are your languages? Anything other than Common or Sindarin that you guys know?
I know a secret dwarven language.
Yeah. Dwarvish?
Well, it says that I know the secret dwarven language of my people, so yes, okay. I suppose that's dwarvish.
So, is it or is it not?
I will look over it and see if I can see any of the runes. If there's no like runes or anything on there, I don't want anything to do with it.
Nope.
Then I kind of grumble to myself and walk off somewhere, maybe kick like a stump or something.
And like Aragorn in the Two Towers, you crack your toe and fall to your knee screaming.
My constitution is a 17, sir. A 17. Don't you forget it.
You were the first to go down in the troll battle. I don't.
Actually, Dala was the first one to go down. I'm not pointing at Nancy.
Wow. Wow. But,
a lot of infighting. I mean, I did roll two natural 20s and it was amazing. Dala, Haley, Edrahel, do you know any languages that have not been mentioned?
Woodland and Old Language and Sindarin.
Gotcha.
Old Language.
Western. I don't know if that one was mentioned, but...
Oh, Western. Yeah, that's the common one. No. So, okay. Unfortunately, at the moment, none of you guys can read the language. You are decently intelligent as a party, so even though you don't know for sure, you can assume, just based on the languages that you do know, this might actually just be some form of troll language. It might not be, but, you know, power of deduction. There's a decent chance that the trolls probably don't know a large number of languages.
Can I try and do a history check just to see? Because that's one of my proficiencies.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Probably not. Yeah,
sure. What did you get?
4 plus 2, 6.
Ooh.
Okay. You study the parchment for a few moments. Ah, yes. I have no idea what it says.
I have it too. Could I try? No. It's okay. Okay.
I want to try a traditions check to see what could have been here then. Yes?
I'm listening. That was just a nod like I'm listening. So what could have been here?
Oh, that could be part of this that Cyrell found. Something around that could have gone by, that could have left this, or something that was there before.
that hasn't
okay been so sure. Like the gems and coins, you're wondering if maybe the trolls pillaged something nearby that you might know of, or if it was just random traveler. That's a great idea. Yes. Traditions check.
Okay, let's find out.
We lost Hannah to the whirling mass of light.
Right, I don't back to us. I got a five.
So despite your knowledge of the Mirkwood, as we venture closer to the center, you guys are approaching what's known as the heart of the Mirkwood, which, Edrahel, you yourself have never ventured into. Trying to get a grasp on what might be nearby is really pulling at the furthest reaches of your lessons in history of the area, and you're not able to discern.
So one of my known lands is Heart of Mirkwood. Does that affect that in any way?
What's the function of the known lands? What does it give you?
It's more about like journeys and stuff. It doesn't really. Let's see. It says you have advantage when making wisdom saving throws against corruption. If the entire journey passes through lands you know and you act as a guide, you lower the peril rating by 2. If any part of your journey passes through a land you know, the DC of your personal events are lowered by 2. Cannot become lost under normal circumstances. I can find a place to safely take a long rest. I have advantage in dexterity. Oh, stealth ability. Never mind.
There's all these things that you could be doing for your party.
He's like, nah. I could help him out.
Well, but, okay, right. Okay. So here's the thing. We had
it's good to find these things on the 5th session, not the 35th.
Say it again.
I'm just glad we had this chat. Continue.
I was just looking because for some reason I thought that we were like we were in a known land that I had, and then we were not. So.
So, Mirkwood is not a known land for you, but the heart of Mirkwood is.
Yes, because we were in Western Mirkwood, and yes. That.
Okay, so that's good then. So this actually wouldn't take effect until, if you begin your journey again right now, and you don't camp for the night right now, you will hit the heart of the Mirkwood by the time you rest tonight. In which case, he would potentially be able to find you a safe spot, and you would actually hit a long.
Go.
Do it.
Yeah. Did we leave the road? I don't remember.
We're at a troll camp.
Yeah. Okay. So the road itself, like on the map, is where it's illustrated for where the road used to be. Once you got about 2 days into your journey, the road was basically overtaken by the trees and stones and everything else. And there's occasionally a bit of a path that you can kind of follow, but you're really just trusting your senses to continue moving east in a correct direction. Okay. The road itself is basically gone.
So are we technically in the mountains of Mirkwood?
Let me actually show you on the map.
I guess I should have asked that because I thought that we were in Western Mirkwood, which I don't know. But I know mountains and I know heart.
So if we look at the map here, this is where you entered over here going this way. So this is east. I think it's mirrored for you guys. So it looks west, but this is east. You're following along here. You're in Western Mirkwood, this elf path thing. You're down here. So this is what Western Mirkwood. Then you get to the mountains of Mirkwood, which is around where you are now. You like just last night started to hit into the mountains of Mirkwood, but you haven't actually seen the mountains yet. You're still stuck on that edge. And right as you get into the mountains of Mirkwood is when you're turning south. And when you turn south, you're going to hit the heart of Mirkwood almost immediately.
Ooh. All right. So we haven't hit the mountains of Mirkwood, is what you're saying.
You're like right there. What happens with you for the mountains of Mirkwood?
I also know that land. So as soon as we cross that, it's like, hey, I've been here before.
Yeah. So if you continue your journey today, you will be able to, you're going to hit the mountains in a couple hours. It's okay, guys, because at least he didn't know the Western Mirkwood.
Well,
none of this has been wasted. So funny
is like somehow he knows the heart of Mirkwood, but he doesn't know the road leading up to it. So it's like, how did you get here in the past? I mean,
So if you know like the heart of Mirkwood, the mountains are completely north of that, and his people are up here. So he probably just goes straight down. and bypasses exactly what happened. The edges.
The woodland exactly rim, right? Yeah, yeah.
That is what I meant to say. Sorry.
Woodland rim was here and just went like whoop, and then I jumped to the mountains. You know? Whoop.
Whoop. Esther Mirkwood actually would be out of his way. Anyway, so okay, if you travel for another couple hours, you will start to hit the mountains of Mirkwood. If you continue traveling and don't make camp until a few hours after nightfall, you'll start to hit the heart of Mirkwood. I will say the heart of Mirkwood, you would know, especially Edrahel, and you can let your party know, is the most dangerous area of the Mirkwood. So it's your choice how you would like to continue your travel, if you want to get to the mountains and call it a day, or if you want to try and skirt the mountains and push south as soon as possible and attempt to hit the heart of Mirkwood.
In the heart of Mirkwood, he can find a safe place to do.
He can do that in the mountains too. We just learned.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, hey guys, I'm letting you know that I know about the mountains of Mirkwood and the heart of Mirkwood, and it gets tough. There we go. That was me letting them know.
I like it.
Cool.
I think we should go like as far as possible while still being able to make camp.
Boy.
All right, that's Haley.
That's the small one.
Haley and Nebuchadnezzar for camp in the heart.
Sure, let's do it.
We can hit right away. Like, one of the things is that I can lower the parallel rating as soon as we hit it. So either way, that would help us.
John's campaign notes are just going down the tank every moment he talks. It's just a beautiful thing.
As soon as he mentioned the -2 parallel rating, I was like, oh, okay, well. That might have made a couple of your other encounters a little bit easier, but it's okay.
So it's going to be easier now than before, and we're going to the hard part.
Well, now,
believe it or not, this has been sort of a journey light. So at some point later in the campaign, you guys, I'm sure, will go on another journey, and we'll have all of the rules down.
Okay.
So. I agree. Let's get going. Let's do it.
All right.
Onward.
So, Edrael, knowing how close you are to both the mountains and the heart of Mirkwood, you decide to, instead of continuing like east all the way to the center point, like the captor had told you a few days ago, you decide to actually cut south a little bit early and try and get the party into the heart of the Mirkwood as quickly as possible. I need you to make a survival check. And for you, the DC is lowered because you're entering into your known lands. And this is an actual event check. Everyone else, I need you to make survival or athletics. Edrahel, in addition to survival, you're also making animal handling.
So you said that I have advantage in this one, right?
Everyone has advantage on their events checks because of the embarkation roll. So everyone rolls their roll with advantage.
All right, that's good.
Did you roll a one?
The first time, yes.
All right. So let me get Edrahel's first.
So we're all rolling with advantage?
Yes, because of you weren't here for that. But when you start a journey, there's an embarkation roll. And that affects all of the events that happen. And it rolled really well. And so everyone has advantage on these specific checks.
That's good. All right.
So what did you get on survival, and then what did you get on animal handling?
So for animal handling, I got an 11.
Okay. And survival?
Survival, I got a nat 20.
Oh, you went from a 9 to a 20 with that advantage?
Wow.
Yeah, either it was a nat 1 or a nat 20, so that was pretty good.
He's an extremes guy. He goes to either end.
You know, there's other numbers on the die that you can roll, Edrahel.
Say it again?
There are other numbers you can roll if you want at some point.
Yeah. You're right. Either I lose a horse or I win a horse, you know?
Okay. Let's see here. Animal handling was a 12, you said?
11.
An 11. Okay. Cyril, what did you get, and did you roll survival or athletics?
I rolled athletics, and I got a 22.
Okay, Nebuchadnezzar?
I rolled athletics as well. I got a 17.
Haley?
Survival, 13.
Eldegar?
Eldekar.
Eldekar.
Got a survival. Nat 20.
Oh, he's a survivor. He's
Dala.
He's also a survivor.
18.
18.
Dang. That was good.
Good job, team. We're in Edrahel's known lands now. It's just it's rubbing off on all of us. He's like pointing out 7-Elevens as we go by, telling us for good places to eat.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you all succeeded, which is actually the first time on the events, journey events this time around, where everyone has succeeded, which means it has the best possible outcome. And that is when you succeed, remember, when you start a journey, there's the embarkation roll, then there's the events that you have to roll on, and then when you arrive, there's an arrival roll. And something happens there, and you want as high a number on both embarkation and arrival as possible. Everyone succeeding on this event, you now have a +1 to your arrival roll, which is great because the peril rating gave you a -2, but I will need to adjust that since your peril rating is down by 2. So currently, your arrival roll is now just a -1, but it might actually be a 0 or a +1 once I adjust the peril rating. I will need to do that at some point before you guys arrive. So if you do arrive this session, bear with me for a moment while I make that adjustment. So as you decide to skirt south to avoid the mountains and try and get into the heart of Mirkwood as quickly as possible, you enter what is known as the rotten core of the forest. The light that you have seen for the most part has been only by campfire or torch or by your use of dark vision, as journeying this far into the forest has led to almost no light coming in. But occasionally you see a small sliver of sunlight on a tree here, or early in the morning you might see a faint bit of gray from twilight. But as you enter into the heart of Mirkwood, if you thought the canopy and the trees were dense before, it's twice as dense now. There is no light in this area. Everything is pitch black, as if it's a moonless, cloudy night, far from civilization. Even at noon during the day, there is zero light from anything other than a torch or a campfire. So you guys will need to keep that in mind. There is no light, aside from any light that you make. So this little light of mine, you better make it shine. As you venture into the heart of the Mirkwood, you see these trunks and trees that were gnarled and twisted and woven into the trees next to them to create this massive, disgusting canopy of rotten wood. But deeper into the heart of the Mirkwood, there's vines and ivy and moss that hang down 20, 30 feet from the canopy. And if you found one that was strong enough, you could basically rope climb up to the canopy. The ivy is everywhere. Constantly in your way, you've got to hack through the bush and the grass. There is no path in the heart of the Mirkwood. It is just obstacle after obstacle. And you come across a rushing stream after a few hours of journey. Once you've entered into the heart of the Mirkwood, everything is dark. You almost find yourself stumbling into it. But Edrahel leading the way, your elven ears, which are highly attuned, even amidst the stepping and the crushing of twig and leaf and the slashing of swords and axes to cut your path as you make your swath through the heart of the Mirkwood, you hear a faint sound of rushing water. And Haley, as you're just kind of humming a bit of a tune and trailing behind Edrahel, you don't hear the rushing water. And you take a step, and all of a sudden, your left foot that you were stepping out with doesn't find ground. And you start to fall. Edrahel, however, between your eyesight and your hearing, knowing what's ahead, you realize that there is some sort of rushing water in front of you. And you spot Haley not catching it. And as she goes to fall, you reach out and grab the back of her shirt. And you pull her back. And you kind of put your hand out. And everyone with torchlight is able to at least see your hand. and you let them know there's a river about 10 feet across that is rushing. A few days ago, if you remember, there was a lot of rain, which means probably near the top of the mountains north of here, there was a lot of snow. And some of that snow has apparently melted and drained down into this river. You've seen this river before. Usually it's a easily passable stream, but this time it's a rush, a raging amount of water that would be very perilous to try and climb over. As a group, you guys spend the better part of half an hour trying to find a way to cross the stream. You yourself, Edrahel, know that there's only a few natural bridges, but they would be days away from here. You guys are able to find a large tree with what you believe to be a sufficiently wide trunk that if you're able to lay it over the river, that you'd be able to climb over. And it takes you about 20 minutes, but Nebuchadnezzar, especially with his axe, is able to help out carving into this tree. It was near the shore, and its roots had gone very deep. It was a very strong tree at one point before being rotted a bit. But you are able to cut it in such a way that it falls across the river. And thankfully, all of you, and with the good animal handling check, are able to cross the tree and also get the horses across, even though they're a little uncomfortable. You manage to keep them from panicking and falling into the water. All of you as a group manage to cross the stream deeper into the heart of the Mirkwood. So, Edrahel, Known Lands says that you can find a safe place to achieve a long rest. Is there a role associated with that in the text, or does it just say that you are able to find one?
It just says that I know it, so I can leave the party there whenever I want.
Good. So that's really important, because safe spots are good to have in as many regions as possible because of journey mechanics. So that means in the mountains and in the Mirkwood, you know one location in both that is safe and will permit you guys to achieve a long rest. So I will mark where that location is in the Mirkwood to give you guys that benefit today. And then Gabriel, I will connect with you later and we'll figure out where that location is in the mountains of the Mirkwood later. Preferably we would have done this beforehand so that you guys would have had to actually journey to that location, but we'll call that location here. And it'll be here for the rest of the campaign that you guys know of a safe spot in the Mirkwood. That being said, you guys can now make camp. You've crossed the river. After you cross the river, Edrahel leads you to a swarm of trees that have actually formed almost like your first night where you saw like that kind of teepee style area. But it's a lot larger. And when you step into it, you can't see out of it. And you actually are able to block the entrance of this room, which is about 20 feet in diameter. You're able to block that entrance with wood and stone and other things to effectively hide your presence in this area of the Mirkwood, which is very good because the bad things here are badder than the bad things you face out west. So you're able to set up camp in the tree. The nice thing about these safe spots in these known locations is you don't have to take watch because it is considered 100% safe. So everyone gets to sleep the whole night.
So before we go to bed, I'm gonna talk to Dala as we're kind of sealing up the entrance, and I'm gonna say you took quite a hit there in the fight. I have to say it's an improvement. I kind of laugh a little bit and give her a little elbow to the arm, you know.
Yeah, it was. It was, but
it was an improvement. Or no, was it
well, thanks for the word of encouragement, because you know, we could all use that encouragement and that motivation to even be stronger than I was.
And I go. Do you have any family back home at all, or anyone that's trying to wait for you to come home?
Nope. I'm a strong, independent woman.
I go, I, and I pull out my, and I pull out my, like, dwarven spirits, and I give her a little bit of them, you know, kind of, you know. And I go, yeah, I see, you know, I got a pretty big home back in the Lonely Mountain there. I got my parents, they run this, this special blacksmithery where we make all sorts of ornate hammers, swords, whatever. Part of the Silver Doom name is creating armaments for all the rich dwarf folk, you know, nice gem encrusted, whatever, but kind of left them behind to, I don't know, make a change in the world, I'd say. Too much darkness, not enough people standing against it. So I have to say, was not ready to die by a bunch of filthy trolls. I want to get killed by something a lot bigger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I ask you, though, I say, so what is your reason for traveling?
You know, now that you talk about change, I'm also trying to make a difference. And it's been a long and tough journey, but I know that we're all going to come out stronger than when we came in. So yeah, change.
And I go, oi, and I continue to repair it.
Oi.
Oi. Continue to repair it.
Oi.
Yep. So that's all I had to say.
Very cool. Cyril's going to go over to Edrahel and say, does your people have a name for this safe spot we're in?
Not precisely. This safe spot is not. What?
He just safe answers spot, for you. Yeah. safe spot.
No, it's more like safe spot. Not precisely. This is an individual spot that I found when I was getting to know this lens. So this is not an elvish spot, so to say.
Thank you for leading us here. Seems like our group needs a little bit of a respite after everything we've been through.
It's okay. It's like it just happened automatically. Like poof, we found it.
It's like it just happened.
He's just sometimes rubbing it into the GM.
Like I think that somebody else is telling our story. So. Like it happens randomly. Like we just roll a dice and it just happens. But hey, if that's the way that it is, then we'll be happy either way. And here we are.
Sometimes life feels like that. Men may roll the dice, but there's a higher power that decides the outcome.
Very wise, sir. Very wise. By the way, what's happened to Will? Haven't heard him in a while.
Oh, he's over there watching the horses. Sure
he's over there.
He's over there.
We left Will.
He's a quiet chap.
That's good to know. Do you have any family stories or something else? I remember that the last time that we talked, you told me a little bit about your relationship to him. Is there any other reason that you would like, how's been your relationship with him ever since?
My relationship with Will, how's things been going?
How
is that what you're asking?
In a sense.
Say that again.
How has your relationship with him grown since you started this journey?
Yeah, I was a little concerned bringing him on this journey to investigate what's been happening, but we have a mutual friend, I shall say, that really wanted me to bring him. So I was a little concerned at first, but he's proven himself to be quite handy. I think with a little bit more training, he might make a good warrior himself.
Well, hopefully one day. At least you know that you have a friend that, if you ever want, could train you in the short bow, or the shield, or the broadsword, or, you know, any other kind of martial arts, if you may. I'm talking about me.
Talk about me.
I was confused for a second. So I'm glad you clarified that. I appreciate that, elf friend. Yes, I might take you up on that offer. As a matter of fact, if you desire, I would not be averse to you helping to train Will. He's a good lad, but I want him to grow up even better than I did, and knowing many different styles and things might be helpful for him.
As a matter of fact, now that we're in here in this safe spot, and it's so wonderful that we found it, that I knew it, what if we just have like a small training session, a sparring session, to see if we can, I don't know, like gain some experience from it?
Sounds wise to me. I always like to be prepared. Yes, let us train.
It just
cue montage.
It just seems that we have to wait for the approval of somebody else to see if we can actually do it and gain some experience from it.
Hardcore.
Danger. Metagaming will cause 1d6 psychic damage to your character.
Yeah, my guy's like hearing all this, and like he's having like an existential crisis going on here. He's like, "What's going on? What's he talking about?" What do you mean? Someone's in charge, rolling dice for us. Oh,
so Mr. Lore Master, is it possible for us to have a sparring session and improving our skills?
Totally.
All right.
Is it like a role that we? Is there a?
It's literally just combat. Yeah, it's just if you're going to deal a killing blow, you would drop him to one hit point instead. But there's no special rules for sparring. You're just fighting.
Helped heal you.
Yeah. That being said, you would have to. You will actually be hurting each other unless you're specifically trying not to. Like either you're pulling your punches and you're not really fighting. Or if you're going to actually spar, you will be taking damage. However, tonight you're getting a long rest and getting all your health back. So, it's up to you.
I mean.
I will say again, the point of knowing a safe location in the midst of a journey is that you are safe that night. So there's not a watch and nothing is going to ambush you at this location. Otherwise, it's not really a safe house.
Fight!
Yeah. Cyrell,
it's your first night, Cyrell. You have to fight.
Oh, and I'm not just talking about Cyrell. I'm talking about like the whole
boy
party. Is like, hey, let's learn from each other and let's all gain some experience from
everyone. Gets knocked to one hit point. Turns out I lied. Dragon tears the room down.
Oh, I'm not gonna fight unless I can use a weapon.
I think what Cyrell has in mind is just learning techniques from each other, like not yes. actually like
but
trying to hurt.
I approach Edrahel and I go, oh, and I kind of size him up a little bit. And I go, so you want to fight?
Yes! It's coming on my life!
Well, I think it's about time, I kind of summarize, that we as a party decide who's better, the elves or the dwarves. And I think we already know.
Edrahel.